that no matter, there's one sure thing about the, what do they call the restrooms now where they both sexes
you?
I don't know. There's a name for it. Now it's just a joke. Now I don't know. It may be a fact later on that, for whatever, one sure thing, the woman will be the one who cleans it. And I agree with that 100%. But I'm not sure that we want to go that far. But if we do, I'm sure we'll all adjust to it, and probably no great harm will be done. Maybe there'll still be a little separation of the sexes, which I'm not sure is good or bad either. I think even all of the scientific experiments and everything has to have a trial run. So I think that we have to do that with other things too. Maybe not as highly scientific as, you know, atom bombs and things, but they all had to try out their theory. So I think we have to try it out too. And if it works, we'll hang on to it. And if it doesn't work, we'll throw it out and try something else. That's the way they do with other things, so why wouldn't we follow the same formula? So I do have a little reservations about the only one restroom. I'm not too sure that in practical use that would... although I understand in European countries they have only one restroom available for them. And I'm sure they've survived with that system for a long time, so really maybe it'll never become the prime issue. Don't think it's that important, but who knows? You know, a lot of unimportant issues become prime. So we'll see what happens. But I think women are on the way up, and they're going to stay that way.
Have you been involved, or have you had thoughts about being involved specifically with the men's
movement? Oh, I support it 100%. I just never, I'm not on anybody's list. I don't know how I fail not to be. To fail not to be on the list, but I never know. They had a march right here in Santa Monica that I would have been very happy to have participated in. I read about it in the paper after it was over. No one ever gets me that information, and I'm really tied here. I have very little, you know, I'm not exposed. Sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, locked away in a cave somewhere because I don't always read the paper, and very seldom that I get home in time to watch the news. And I do, you know, I feel like I'm becoming maybe a little bit too isolated, but I supported that from the very beginning, I should say so. And sometimes I'll get something in the mail from New York or way off someplace asking for a donation, and I certainly make my donation. I'm very happy to. But as far as whatever's happening around here that I could personally become involved in with my limited time, you know, I would have dropped everything, as I say, and gone and walked the march. Been very happy to, but I read about it after, you know, I read the account of it in the paper after it was over, so I'm not aware of what is actually happening that I could personally every once in a while participate in. I certainly would, but I support it, I certainly do, and I urge all other women to support it, and as I keep saying to the females here, because we're well, I don't know. Everybody's afraid of anything new, and they don't want to be labeled, and they're just no one, very few people will take the time and the effort to think things out for themselves and, you know, weigh and compare the good and the bad and the facts. Facts are so important, which most people completely ignore. But one extreme benefit that the women's movement has made that I would doubt very seriously that they're even aware of, because there's very few people exposed to the problem, is that the single female can immigrate to a child born here, from a single female from Mexico. Now, that was not possible before. An unmarried woman with a child was a fallen woman, now through, you know, all our education and things, that has become possible. And I don't think that, now you see indirectly, I think there's a lot of other good that has come of that. They cannot discriminate against this woman who has a child. She's just as eligible to immigrate to that child as if she were a married, fully married woman with all the, you know, that goes with it. And that has been very, very recent. And I certainly credit that to the woman's movement, yes, because as I say, before that, a woman with children who was not married was not eligible to immigrate. and you know, not everyone with, not every unmarried woman with a child is a criminal prostitute in the street or something. That's been happening ever since, I guess, history, ever since mankind was. That I have always, and I have mentioned over and over to the females here, that, and to the women who are benefiting from it, that they should in any way, whatever possible to them, support the women's movement, because they have directly benefited from it. And as I say, I doubt if the people involved are aware that they made that, which affected an awful lot of women. Poor women, give them a chance to start a new life, to make a living, to support the child or the children that they have, which they are forced to support, which they could never do if they remained an illegal person. They would just have to take the lowest paid job that there was. And I certainly have always been very grateful for that, and for the sake of the women who was able to help in that respect. And I'm sure there are other things where the women have benefited who don't even realize that this was opened up to them by the women's movement. And you got another question? I think I ran out of answers.
I want to go back just a second and ask you, when you first started here and things were difficult, how on a personal level you dealt with those difficulties, if there was, you know, a certain amount of support that went on with you and the board women and the other women that worked here, and how you like got through that time, and that was easier emotionally.
I'm a very strong person emotionally. I think in a time of crisis, which is what we had here, people have a tendency to come together, to work together more. I notice that. You don't dwell on all the little irritations that come from a group of people getting together. They're going to get on each other's nerves in some minor respects, no matter what. And I think that, I've noticed that in many, many things. In a crisis, you don't concentrate on the little things. You all have a goal, and you do work together, and you're very supportive of each other to reach the goal, which our goal, of course, when I first came here was to get the credit union open. Otherwise, the state chartered credit union would have closed us out, and they would pay 27 cents on the dollar to the shareholder. And that's one of the reasons that I'm here, because at the time, I was a volunteer. Of course, I was not working here when we started the credit union, and I personally went, you know, and solicited shareholders for the credit union and convinced them that a new thing, when it has to do with money, is all, you know, people don't trust their money to strangers. And I was very instrumental in getting. The sad thing was, poor people were the shareholders, the very poor people in the community, and we had a lot of shareholders, a small amount of shares, naturally, because they didn't. The persons who closed the credit union were a middle class, you know, working class, and a good wages, you know, class of people, which was so sad. And I didn't feel that without trying everything that I had, using everything available to me and trying hard, I just couldn't see the poor shareholder who I had gone and urged to place their money here, that it would be absolutely safe, which, of course, I was sincere. At the time, I thought that it would be absolutely safe. To get paid off on 27 cents on their dollar, if there was any way that I could prevent that. And obviously, we all felt the same way. And we had a lot of the poor shareholders who were helping us, who supported us too, male or female. I don't think they cared. But at the time of the crisis, yes, we got along quite well. We, as I remember, our major, the only major problem, the only worry that we had was, the outside of, everybody was worked very hard, worked long hours, and we had one goal, and we reached it. I think we have more little petty problems now that we, you know, things leveled off and we got to. I guess people get tired. Two persons, well, there's only a few, and they do give a lot, their time and their energy and their support, and I think people just get kind of tired out after a while, the same ones that have been doing so much. But I don't feel that we had. I'd hate to have to relive that, but I really don't feel. In fact, I I think that's what helped us more, was the fact that everybody did come together and support. And we reached the goal, as I say. It took us 1 year, we opened the credit union. No one lost a penny.
What are your thoughts for your own future?
Work as long as possible. And we'll never retire unless I become physically unable to perform. I don't believe in retirement. And there's so many things left to do. I really, I think I even guard my health more than I would ever thought before, because I realize it's going to take me a lot more years than I had expected to do what I have laid out. And I'm just talking about hard work. But I don't have any big plans to retire or go to Hawaii or any kind of things like that. I just want to keep on working and doing more or less what I'm doing here, or what I did, the same thing before I came here. We, of course, would like to have more growth in the organization here and expand. There's an extreme need for what we do here, an extreme need. There's no other place for the persons that come to us for help to go. And I think that for that reason alone, unless this suddenly changed and became a very prosperous middle-class community that didn't need the type of things that we do, that I would make a plan on making any changes. But I wouldn't make a change. I'm sure I can always find the same persons needing the same things. I would have to change the location. That's all that would change. Unless the government sees the need to provide for the persons that we help, and I would be no longer needed, then I might look to some kind of self-indulging things like living in the country, which I enjoy very much, and other things, other pursuits. Maybe spend a little time with my family, bug them for a while, which they complain all the time that I don't. I think it's better that way. They appreciate me when they get me, see? But I have no plans to do anything except what I'm already doing, to help build the state. The state organization is planning and involved in the first steps of becoming self-supporting, which is a big venture, and I certainly would be very active in that. And just all I see is more work, which pleases me very much. I like to work. I've never felt the need to do less work. The only thing that bothers me is physically you can only do so much, and there's a lot more than physically one person can do. So. But I will be here and be busy, and hope more and more women will see the need to come out and help. In fact, I feel if I ever had a whole lot of free time, I would go to Mexico and try to educate the male population over there, because there's a great need there. That it's in their best interest to support the women, to allow the women to participate and be equal partners. It's in their best interest, of the husband's best interest, and certainly the best interest of the family, the children. So maybe I'll go there and try to sell that idea when I run out of anything to do here.
You said you guard your health.
Well, I just pay a little bit more attention than I would ordinarily.
How has your health been over the years?
Good. I mean, I just try to eat the right foods to a degree, and try not to go all day without eating, which I do most of the time. But just things, you know, that would give you more strength. And I don't have to worry about exercise, because I get plenty of that on the job. But just to try to keep in shape so that I can work, I realize it. You know, as you get older, well, you develop all these little infirmities, and I don't want to do that. I want to stay healthy so I can work. Oh, very uneventful. I think it's overrated. Really. I expected all these terrible things, and they didn't, they really didn't materialize. I don't know, maybe not so much nowadays, but, you know, back when I was coming up, they were all, I guess, what you call old wives' tales now, but the women were always talking and this terrible thing, and actually I think I sort of went through it without really noticing that I had passed the crisis. So I think, I think I'm a fairly healthy person, so I can't speak for other women. But I think women dwell too much on that, and, you know, I kept waiting for all the various symptoms and you know, degrees of these terrible things that were supposed to happen, and in my case, they didn't materialize, so I feel that maybe some women from time to time did have a lot of difficult, you know, problems with it, but the majority of the women, maybe because they heard it so long, they felt they had to have those same symptoms and all this. But I would say very, very uneventful for my part. It didn't slow me up a bit. In fact, I think that's true with most women. They're all through with it before they realize that they're supposed to have had this terrible time. I would say that. Now, I don't know. I hear a lot, you know, about the hot flashes. Well, I've never had any. I must have gotten to the point where they're supposed to have developed by now, and I'm still waiting, and thank goodness, and I hope that I don't develop them, but I just never got into all the things that were supposed to happen, you know. Just. So I don't know. So if I were you, you probably, you know, don't worry about it. I think a lot of women, you know, they dwell too much on, I think your mind can affect, you can develop symptoms. That's why I hate to read medical books, because I'm always looking for that same. And I think other people do the same thing, you know, hear all this about this disease and say, oh gosh, I had that pain over here. Now, when was that? Was that 2, 5, 10 years ago? I had a pain over here. I got the exact symptoms, you know. I think you can worry yourself to death. With myself, if I really had anything disease wrong with me, I wouldn't want to know, because I feel I would dwell on it and manufacture it, and it, you know, it would become. And I figure if I don't know about it, I'm just going to go on my normal way, and it probably eventually it will get down to you. But I just soon not know. I disagree with the medical profession of describing every little thing and telling you exactly what you had, because. Like I say, if they told me, I'd be a nervous wreck. Now, if they left me alone, I'd probably live 10 or 15 years longer and not even, you know, feeling fine and figuring there was nothing wrong with me. If they told me there was something wrong with me right away, I would figure, you know, I got to watch all my symptoms and I got to, you know, here I am, I'm sick. The doctor don't tell me I'm sick, I don't really know it. I think that happens to a lot of people nowadays, too. Not that that's the right attitude. I admire the medical profession, and I think they've done an awful lot a lot of, and I think people do have a lot more available to them. You have to wait forever to get it, but you do have a lot more available to you. You can die in the emergency waiting room, and people have. We have taken people there in bad condition and died before they could get, you know, and that's right there at the Santa Monica Marine Emergency Hospital. Right here. But still, the medical profession has done a lot towards the eliminating and treating a lot of serious disease, and I commend them too for that.
I was listening to our last interview, and one of the things you said was that you like to think that word more unconventional, that you are more unconventional. You were talking about teaching and girls'
cancer. Oh, yes.
And I'm like, I wanted to ask you, when you thought you started being unconventional, or if you thought you were always.
I would say I was always that way. Who would notice when they started to do something? No, I would say so. I never could see the point. Well, of course, when I was growing up, there weren't PTAs. But still, people had more of an interest in the school. Parents had more of an interest in the school. Now, I think when we formalize it, we shut out too many people. Maybe there's a lot of people like me who just cannot fit into this formal structure, who, if you had a very loose thing, would participate. And to me, maybe the PTA, maybe they don't intend it that way, but I think, or maybe they do, because I think it does tend to form a little small structure there that does exclude, it does shut out, although they say what they want is a handful of people, and they want a lot of people to come just like sheep and support them, not to participate in it, not to listen to or get any, you know, form their program by what they're hearing from a whole lot of different sources, but to dictate and decide. And I think people resent that. I don't know. I know poor people. Now, maybe in high, middle class and upper class neighborhoods, the person is aggressive enough to participate, but in low income, the people just stay away because they know they're being had, and they really don't know what to do about it. Because you couldn't have some of the foolish things that come up, that surface in poor communities, that the PTA decide to do if there was any input from the poor people in that community. And my experience and view is very limited to poor people and their concept, so I certainly wouldn't try to speak for any other group, but I'm very familiar with poverty and poor people, and I certainly learned something all through the years of trying to deal and being involved in the problems of trying to survive, and, you know, at a poverty level.
Are there things about your life that you would do differently? Decisions you would make differently if you had it to do over?
I never look back. It's easy to say I would have or I should have, but I have never, whatever I did in good faith at the time. I doubt it. I would make the same mistakes. I'm sure most of us would. Because you don't have, hindsight is better than foresight, of course. And you're just, later you can see, you can look back and see, but you couldn't certainly see it at that time, or you wouldn't have done it the way that you did. And if I could be different, I guess I would try to be a more patient person, and I don't see where I'd change a lot. I would still help people. I always have. I know a lot of people, you know, we talk about Christianity and we go to church, and I've always felt that religion was your fellow man. To me it is. And if you can turn your back on your fellow man, then you can turn your back on religion, and it becomes very meaningless. I mean, you can go through, I'm not criticizing anyone else's beliefs or the way that they want to live or anything. I'm just expressing mine, and I do feel that humanity is religion, and that things through the centuries never change. Do unto others is still just as timely as it was at the time that that it was said, and a lot of things like that. And we just don't want to practice. Everybody wants to have high ideals and a high concept of this, but I think we're very inhuman because we still have war. We're still allowing human beings to starve in other parts, and probably right here in the United States. I think people could starve to death, nobody would notice it, because we don't notice when our next-door neighbor is sick. We don't notice when their house is being robbed. We don't care when someone's being beat up out in the street and killed right in front of us. So I would say that possibly in the United States, but I think that to me, that's religion, that you should, it's a lot more religious to try to help this person and to try to work overall from the top and try to select people in government who have a concern that people are starving, that we have a lot of waste, especially here in the United States, that the higher the living standard becomes, the less concerned people are about other people. They just want to go higher and higher, and I feel that rather than for, and I'm not a communist or a socialist or a fascist, I'm a Democrat, and that's bad enough, where I feel that the wealth should be more evenly distributed, that people should have the basics, which is food and shelter. And we don't do that. Our concerns are not there. We're towards a higher standard of living for aggressive people who stomp on other people to get it. Maybe that's a little harsh to say they stomp on other people, but there certainly is that, in a sense, that attitude. But I don't want two swimming pools. If I could afford two, I would give one to someone else. And swimming pool is certainly the last thing in the world that I would have two of or would give to anyone else. But it's just the idea that we would want more of these status symbols, more and more of those, or better and better of those, and we would never think about, instead of having two swimming pools, why don't we try to give a wading pool to some poor person sort of concept. But I think it's real sad, and I think that in government, and you can't disassociate government from living, because they make all our decisions. Everything we do is governed by a law now, or a enforced rule. And I think that we should take pay a lot more attention to who we are selecting to make these laws, and try to get the process changed so persons who didn't have money, because people with money are concerned only with people with money, and to make it so that someone with a different view could be in a position of authority in government. And I don't know how you would bring that about, I truly don't. But I feel that we could begin to solve some of the problems, because we're not solving problems, they're only multiplying century after century, year after year. Unemployment, and then the government gives these large grants. But the large grants don't go to producing permanent or meaningful employment. They're usually training. We have trained people and trained them over and over again for jobs that aren't there. So that is in itself is not going to benefit the unemployment. That's why the rate doesn't go down. If I'm wrong, and I certainly would love to be proven wrong in that respect, then we wouldn't be worrying about the high rate of unemployment, especially amongst poor people and minorities. We wouldn't be worrying about that. We can say to shut me up real fast and say, you know, they're working. Now, I live amongst the poor people, and I know they're not working. I can read something, you know, in an article in a magazine or a paper somewhere that says so many people were provided jobs. Well, usually these were temporary jobs of 6 months. How many were unemployed? You know, they haven't even touched the unemployed. I would like to see the government take a realistic view towards actually solving. We don't solve any problems. We really don't. We just spend a lot more money and they continue on. And I think crime is one thing that we're going to have to deal with eventually, because it's touching everyone now. As long as it stayed in the poor areas, everybody was very unconcerned about it. And the same thing with drugs. As long as they stayed with poor minorities, no one got really concerned. But I noticed that what we did do when the drug situation began to move outside of ghettos and barrios, that we passed more liberal laws, because the white person was not going to, or the more affluent person, was not going to have their child with a criminal record. So we made it a smaller charge where there was nothing, you know, nothing to it, which really didn't benefit any way at all. It kept the more affluent person from having a criminal record, which no one worried about the poor kids doing the same thing. So you see, we really don't want to solve that problem either. We come out with a lot of conflicting reports on drug use. So what have we done to solve the problem? It's growing larger every day. Now, we spent lots of money, but we have done, and that's what I would like to get away with, that possibly we could elect a place in government, a balance of persons with different views. You know, not always that we have to accept the money view and the money concept, because only persons with money can get elected to public office. Someone without any money is up a tree. That's all. They're not going to make it. Now you have another question.
I want to ask you. in thinking about your work at Douglas during the war, and you worked at Rockville, mm-hmm. during the war years, what kind of an impact did that job particularly had on you, on your family, or the group? Because that's anything different in the
Well, it meant a steady job, I think, which was important. It meant a steady job, and this is a very short. It was.